This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. Amma ba'd. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. تقبل الله منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us, subhanallah, accept our first 10, accept our second 10, and bless our third 10. We are a few hours into the 21st night, subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, exciting times, huh? Do you feel it? You feel like, subhanallah, this hadiyah, this gift was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you, and you just feel excited for it. It's like a little Eid before an Eid. And this is the reality for a believer. This is our reality. We always recognize celebration in the opportunity to build Jannah. And what an opportunity to build Jannah are these days, subhanAllah, and these nights, especially these nights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us al-firdos. Ameen. And before that, grant us many, many layal al-qadr. Many, many nights of power and decree and virtue. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah make our time in the Medina solely for his sake, sincerely for his pleasure. And may he accept our salah and our qira'ah, our recitation of the Quran, and may he subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our study of the Quran as well. Welcome everyone to yet another installment of Surah Yusuf in the 21st century. And yesterday we went through a longer episode. It made up for the shorter episode the day before, inshallah. And it was titled Made to Stick Part 2, as a continuation from our lesson the day before, Made to Stick Part 1. And for those who weren't here, I named the episode Made to Stick from a famous book that was written and dedicated to this idea of how to transfer information from, or ideas from one mind to another mind, from one person to another person, how to make the ideas that you have in your mind stick in the mind and heart of somebody else. And the reason why I called it this, because we had a da'wah masterclass by Yusuf alayhi salam when he was placed into the prison. And just to bring back the scene and the setting, let's not forget that Yusuf alayhi salam, he's in prison here, as someone who is oppressed. And not someone who is oppressed with the public knowing that he's being oppressed. Sometimes you have someone who's jailed and they're being oppressed, and the public see them as a batal. They see them as a hero. They see them as, we can't wait for that hero to get out. And putting that person in prison only increased the love that the people had for that person. Now Yusuf alayhi salam is not from this realm, right? Because you have all these women participating in a plot to silence the haqq, to preserve their sanctity and their aura by throwing him without trial into prison. And you could effectively say, after that, they threw away the key. So Yusuf, he went into the prison with this reality. Now this is an extra test. Throughout our episodes, we've been talking about the weaknesses of Yusuf. First, he was a young boy. Then he was an abducted young boy. Then he was an abducted young boy. So three tests, because he was abducted a second time when they took him from the well. Then he was transported out of Egypt and made an alien. So now he's a foreigner. This is another weakness. Then he is sold as a slave. Another weakness. Then he's forced to live in a home of idolatry and poor moral behavior. Another weakness. And then he is now thrown into prison in this way. Not with a reputation that's intact outside of the prison, but with the real chance that his reputation is spoilt. And no doubt the honor of a believer is everything. And like we always said, Yusuf's voice is almost unheard of in Surah Yusuf. However, when it comes to his honor and the preservation of his honor, we hear his voice. When he said, "Qala hiya rawadatni an nafsi," she's the one who tried to seduce me. Subhanallah. So the fact that Yusuf alayhi salam spoke up here, what does this mean? This means that his honor means everything to him. And now he's thrown into prison with no guarantee of his honor being protected. with no guarantee of his honor being preserved. But subhanAllah, as we said yesterday, he had his Allah in his heart, and the beauty of his character just keep shining through, just keep shining through, just keep shining through. Why? Because we have testimony from people in the prison that Yusuf is amazing. Because these two inmates who had the dream, they come to him and they say to him, interpret the dream for us. Inna naraka minal muhsinin. We see you from the ones who do good. You're a muhsin. If Yusuf was depressed in prison, crying over spilt milk, crying over matters he doesn't have control over, allowing himself to become stressed, would he be from the doers of good? Would he be someone who these people would see as, you know what, let's approach him, he's approachable. He seems like a proactive person. He seems like a person who's well-read. They wouldn't. So they are testifying that Yusuf, he is phenomenal. It is, and they don't even know about his circumstance and his situation or the quote, and meaning quote unquote, the crime that he's done. That they know he's in prison, but they see him as one person and everybody else as a group of people. And again, I will repeat for the third episode. A believer is someone who happens to a situation. Not someone who lets a situation happen to them. The believer is the one who strikes a situation and that situation transforms for the better because of his or her presence. Not the other way around, where the believer goes somewhere and the environment strikes them and changes them. And then we have identity crises and hijab crisis and beard crisis and Islamic identity crisis. And we see in the da'wah of Yusuf, and we're not going to go through it again today because we spent an hour yesterday, so please do see the episode on the National Zakah Foundation YouTube channel and on my YouTube channel as well. We went into the details, subhanAllah, of how perfect this man was and how he's announcing to them that he knows who he is. وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. And meaning, I know my identity. I'm upon the way of my forefathers, Ibrahim and Ishaq and Yaqub. And by the way, everywhere in the Quran we see this idea of following your forefathers mentioned to us in a manner that isn't praiseworthy, except here. Except here. Following your forefathers in this manner is praiseworthy. But the Quran is not telling us that it's praiseworthy because he's following his forefathers. He's saying, وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ أَبَائِي. I'm upon the guided way of my grandfathers. Right? And Allah tells us that this millah refers to this guided way, because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran, what does he say? مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيَّ وَلَا نَصْرَانِيَّ وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. His millah was of being upright and being a submitter. Allah says Ibrahim was not a Jew or a Christian, but he was an upright submitter to Allah. Millata abikum Ibrahim, huwa sammakum al-muslimin, as Allah tells us in the Quran. That the submission and the true submission is the millah of Ibrahim. So when he says, وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِي, he's not saying, I'm praiseworthy because I'm following my grandfathers. No, I'm praiseworthy because I'm following guidance. The guidance that I found with my grandfathers. They were prophets. I know my identity. I'm a prophet, the son of a prophet, the son of a prophet, the son of the prophet. All this life I've lived through my teens, through my 20s, through my 30s, in my 40s, and now I'm in the prison. I see idols. I don't see people worshipping one Allah, mentioning Allah. All this didn't affect me. All these circumstances around me didn't affect me. I'm still on the way of my fathers. You are telling me, O inmates, that I'm from those who do good. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. You need to know what I'm upon that makes me different in your testimony from everybody else here. And subhanAllah, we see this guidance. Because immediately he goes on and says to them, after mentioning all these realities of his and his, and we discussed some of the psychology here yesterday. You must watch yesterday's episode, guys. It's very important. Those who missed it, do watch it, because we really went into the psychology here. But to tap into something that I missed yesterday, this idea of attributing, or I might have said it, please forgive me if I'm repeating it, this idea of attributing goodness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately when he announces why they see, meaning he announces to them the reasons why they see him from the people who do good, and that he's upon the way of his forefathers, the guided way of his forefathers, the forefathers, the grandfathers who were guided, immediately after he tells them that, what does he say? ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ. This is from Allah's fadl. And this is from the signs of guidance and righteousness. Someone who is guided, they attribute their success to Allah. They don't say it's my intelligence, my skills, you know, my batting skills, my bowling skills. Did you see how I did this and how I did that? Did you see the yorker I bowled in Australia? I don't know, is cricket's a big thing here, obviously. Come on, guys. We know from all over the world, we know the Aussies. Meaning in anything, you pass your exams. It's my skills, my hard work, my intelligence. You get a promotion. It was my forecasting. It was my vision. It was my perception. The people of guidance, they attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They pass the exam. Say, ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. It's from the fadl of Allah. Subhanallah, Allah helped me. Allah chose me. Subhanallah. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There's no power, no might except from Allah. You hold your hands up. ذلك من فضل الله. It's from Allah. ذلك من فضل الله علينا. Upon me, and guess what? Even upon my forefathers. My forefathers, they were chosen by Allah. Allah honored them. He's highlighting, subhanallah, that it's all Allah. There's no salvation through a human being. Salvation is through having a direct connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَعَلَى النَّاسِ. Subhanallah. That this is not something specific to some group of people. It's the fadl of Allah upon us and upon the people. Upon anyone who wants to be guided, you'll receive this fadl. Upon anyone who wants to be thankful, who wants to be grateful, how do you be thankful and how do you be grateful? By recognizing Allah. When you recognize Allah, this is shukr lillah. You are thanking Allah when you recognize Allah. And that's why straight after he says, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. But most of mankind are not thankful. Most of mankind are ungrateful. Meaning, most of mankind do not recognize Allah. Do not attribute their success to Allah. Do not give Allah his haqq. They do not worship him alone. Because if you knew that everything about you is because of one Allah, then there's nothing left for you to do except اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِيمِ. Think about it. Think about it. If you knew who Allah is and what He's done for you, and you think about it, subhanAllah, the only thing left for you is to exclaim, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship, Ya Allah, and you alone do we seek assistance from. Because clearly, even the people who help us, they only help us because you inspired them to help us, gave them the means to help us. So it's all Allah. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. You have to go into the, you have to ponder. You have to ponder. So this is something, subhanAllah, that we missed yesterday. And I kept telling, yesterday we were pulling out so many gems, subhanAllah. And I kept saying to the brothers and sisters that, you know what, we can write a book on this. We need to sit here for, we need a course on this. Da'wah masterclass just from Surah Yusuf. So we see this here as well. That from the success of a da'i, is that he, and anyone, but especially a da'i, especially an imam, especially a scholar, they attribute their success to Allah, what they know to Allah, what they've understood to Allah, because they know Allah more than others. And this is from a sign of ihsan, of being excellent with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we see from this that a society that doesn't respect the people of Islah, the du'at, those who come to transform people's lives, who call people to transform their lives, who help people transform their lives. A community that doesn't respect these people, they're a community in a loss. They are a community heading for destruction. If you are jailing your scholars, if you are character assassinating your imams, and if you are blocking your du'at, and even to the extent, subhanAllah, that you choose not to attend an effort that they're running for your benefit when you have nothing better to do. This is from not honoring your du'at, your imams, your scholars. Yusuf is saying that I am upon the way of the prophets. The scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. And then Yusuf is saying that this ihsan and this khair, this goodness, is from Allah's fadl upon us. So if you work against your imams, your scholars, your du'at, then you are from the majority that are unthankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can deduce this from this, subhanallah. If you think deep and deeper and deepest, you need to interact with the Quran. Try and interact. What's the verse saying? Think about your 21st century circumstance. Underpaying your imam. This is something that needs to be dealt with. It's unfortunate that we see this zahira still in the 21st century, where people have an imam, but they underpay the imam. As if the imam should have the worst life and dedicate his life to making everyone's life better. This is you, you are from the ungrateful ones. You are from the ungrateful ones. The ones who, mashallah, yani, your presentation of your mosque is about the country your carpets came from and the country your chandelier came from and the cost that it, the cost that was used to create the wudu facility, but you pay your imam half or less than half. Then what someone at his caliber would get in society. This is from being ungrateful. Because the people of Islah, they've received Allah's fadl. They are from ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَيْنَا upon the prophets وَعَلَى النَّاسِ who Allah chooses from the prophets. So Allah sends you these people who He revealed His fadl to, and then you disobey them, you disrespect them, you belittle them, you don't make dua for them. This is a problem. You got to ask yourself. Yusuf is saying the few are grateful to Allah, the majority are not. Which group do you fit into? So this is important. This is important. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. And then we went into further verses about how Yusuf alayhi salam highlighted to them his identity, and then he beautifully invited them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we went through some of the fiqh of da'wah. That's why I really, really encourage you to watch yesterday's episode. If you really want a 1 hour summarized, in fact not a 1 hour because the first 12 minutes was on Laylatul Qadr and the last 10 nights of Ramadan. If you want a 45 minute quick recap masterclass of the asalib of da'wah, honestly, yani in terms of how to deal with al-mustahdaf, the person who you intend, how to grab their attention, how to keep them with you, how to prioritize what to say, when to say, how to address them, how to keep their focus, all of the subhanallah, yesterday we tapped into it. Khair inshallah. Yusuf alayhi salam then goes on to interpret the dream for them. He's given them what they needed. So now he's going to give them what they wanted. Some people are thinking, what am I saying? That was yesterday's lesson. If you snooze, you lose. You have to go back to the lesson. So inshallah, listen to this lesson, then go to yesterday's lesson and it will make sense. He's given them what they needed. And he now promised them, and you put persons upon their promise. He promised them, before the meal comes, I will tell you about your dream. He tells them about their dream. He interprets the dream. And he says to one of them that as for one of you, you will be freed from here and you will given a post in the palace of the king. You will be a waiter. You will be serving the drinks, the wine of the king in his palace. As for the other one, you will be destined to, quote unquote, the death penalty. That's what's going to happen. Your dream about you carrying bread over your head and birds pecking at that bread, the interpretation of it is that you will be executed. Then Yusuf alayhi salam says something, subhanAllah, that shows he has executiveness to him. He's not just a beautiful face and all that beautiful iman and a beautiful character. And some people misinterpret a beautiful character for being soft, for being weak. No, Yusuf has ultimately beautiful character. When it's time to be stern, he can be stern. And we see it here. And we'll see it again very soon when his brothers come to him. Inshallah, if Allah gives us life, during the upcoming nights, we'll discuss the other place where he's stern. He says to them immediately, قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. This matter that you're asking me about is decreed. خلاص. No more discussion. You know how it is sometimes you tell someone, you see, you're going to get the death penalty. No, but are you mistaken? No, are you sure? No, but you know, I might have seen this. Somebody might try and change the dream. No time wasting. And this shows you how, subhanAllah, you can deduce from this, how precise Yusuf was with his time management. He kept them and gave them the time that was needed. Once the matter was done, it's done. I have other important things to do. قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. There's no point engaging me in this discussion further, because what you're asking about has been decreed. By who? By the Lord who I worship. By the one who I told you, إِنُ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. The one who I told you about, that there's no hukum except for Allah's hukum. There's no legislation except for Allah's legislation. Right? And then he says what to them after that? He says that the command, أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّا. The command is not to worship anyone but one Allah. So don't waste your time in conversation. Go worship one Allah. Aslim. Become a Muslim. قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ. It's over. Any discussion now is a waste of my time and a waste of your time. This is sternness. This is not harshness. SubhanAllah, some of us forget, we, especially in this day and age, and I've said the citation before, where we have emergency rooms filled with people with paper cuts. The people are fragile, ya akhi. Any little thing, oh, he's offended me, she's offended me. I have mental stress, mental health because of this person, because of this circumstance. And it's like we're filling the emergency room with people who have paper cuts. Ya akhi, paper cut, put a plaster and carry on, ya akhi. Carry on. We're not belittling the presence of mental health. The mental health is real. But there's some people, subhanAllah, it's a paper cut. And you're weakening your robustness, your endurance to a level that, subhanAllah, you're causing yourself to decapacitate. You don't have the ability to face life. You don't have the ability to bring value to life. This is sternness, it's not harshness. Some people say, no, you can't be harsh. You do this and say, he's harsh. Khalas, I'm no more going to speak to him. I lost my respect for him. I lost my respect for her. Brother, sister, this is not harshness. This is sternness. In life, there's a time for kindness and there's a time for sternness. There's a time for advice and there's a time for being prescriptive. Sometimes you have to be prescriptive. You can't just advise people. Sometimes you have to tell them, listen, do this in this way at this time. Like when the doctor gives you medicine. This is a prescription. You have to take it. But your multivitamins, it's suggested. It's a suggestion. One capsule a day with meals preferred, recommended. No, when you get a prescription from a doctor, you don't see recommended there. Take one dose 3 times a day, preferably with meals. Okay, this is recommended. So there's prescription and then there's advice. But today, subhanAllah, you be a little bit prescriptive and people start losing trust in you and they start distancing themselves from you. And this is a problem. This is a problem. And my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I hope this is not the case in Australia. But it is getting to the stage whereby, subhanAllah, you can't even advise the closest people to you. The closest people to you, you can't advise them. Because you fear them shadow banning you. You know what shadow banning is? Shadow banning, huh? Those who do social media, you know what shadow banning is. When the platform shadow ban you. And some people shadow ban as well. Where they ban you without you knowing. There's no notification. There's no discussion. There's no meeting. There's no message. There's nothing. All you can see is there's no invite. When you message them, there's no reply. When, or they might be in a group. Some people do this, they leave the group. Again, this is the level of maturity, subhanAllah. Yani, we show our frustration by leaving the group. And then everyone must run behind us and say, come back to the group, brother. Come back to the group, sister. Akhi, you left the group, alhamdulillah, salama. Khalas, you leave the group and make your life productive. And you guys in the group, maybe you should leave the group as well. Because clearly, the maturity level isn't there. In terms of, guys are laughing because you're living it, huh? Allah, may Allah forgive us, ya. We see this. When Ramadan came, there were this WhatsApp messages going around. It's what do they call them? Like a sticker, huh? Hey, Shaitan left the group. People are creative, yani. Shaitan's left the group because he's chained now. May Allah keep you all smiling, ya akhi, and laughing in Allah's obedience. Allah forgive us. We need to build our mental maturity, our ability to interact with each other. We need to build our maturity there. We need to, not the paper cut syndrome, ya akhi. May Allah save us. Yusuf alayhi salam, he's being stern here. قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. It's not going to help me, it's not going to help you. مَعَ السَّلَامَةِ. To the effect, مَعَ السَّلَامَةِ. You know what you have to do, go do it. I have other things to do. Then Allah tells us that Yusuf alayhi salam, and this could be one of the reasons why he was prescriptive. Because Yusuf alayhi salam teaches the ummah a very great lesson here. The lesson of tawakkul. And tawakkul entailing taking the means. This could be one of the reasons why Yusuf was prescriptive with this person. قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانُ. Why? I have no time for you now. I need to speak to this person who's going to be freed. Yusuf saw the person being freed as a means. Tawakkul is putting your trust in Allah, but also tying your camel. This is important to understand, because some people misinterpret Yusuf's actions here. And I'll tell you how. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجِ مِنْهُمْ أَذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. That Yusuf said to the one, ظَنَّ here means yaqeen. He knew, not he was in doubt. Although dhan in the Arabic language commonly is used to denote a person having a doubt, meaning I thought, right? When you quote unquote thought, meaning you were not 100% sure. But dhan in the Arabic language can also come with the meaning of certainty, and we see that here. Because Yusuf interpreted the dream. He was certain. Who taught him how to interpret the dream? Allah. So he was certain that this person would be freed. But Allah uses the term dhanna here to teach us that dhan can also come with the meaning of certainty. Or definitely ghalabat al-dhan. Ghalabat al-dhan is where you're confident. You're confident that something is going to be like this. Right? For example, I'm confident that the water in this bottle is pure. Right? You can't be 100% sure, but you feel like you're 100% sure. Your confidence is so high, you feel like you're 100% sure. You'll be 100% sure when you drink it and everything is safe. Right? So dhan comes with this meaning as well. The meaning of having a confirmed thought. A confirmed thought meaning something that is as good as 100%. Yusuf knew that this person would be freed. So Yusuf alayhi salam took the means. Remember, Yusuf came into prison feeling that there's a good chance that my reputation is being spoiled in the land. And no one knows about me here. No one knows about me here. So he says to this person leaving the prison, Udhkurni inda rabbik. Mention me. Now Yusuf interpreted the dream, right? He knew that this person is going to pour wine in a very senior official's palace. Someone who has an official senior posting in the land, this person is going to be employed by him. Correct? Yusuf is saying to him, mention me to him. Now, if you interact with this, you could get the impression that Yusuf has expressed to him that he, not the details, because Yusuf, Wallahu alam, but Allah doesn't tell us here. And later on, Yusuf will give details of what happened to him with the women. But right now, Wallahu alam, we don't get this min zahir al-Quran, from the apparent nature of the verses that Yusuf has told him what happened to him. But Yusuf, in the least, we deduce from this, has told him that I'm an innocent person jailed. So mention to the person who assumes you in his palace that an innocent person is in jail. Okay? Okay. Now, Rabb, remember we said in Arabic language could mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and could mean your master. Like Rabb was used in one of the tafsirs to describe the minister of Egypt, the one minister who bought Yusuf from the slave market. So here, Rabb would mean the king or the minister, whoever is going to, this official of a very senior posting, who's going to take you into his palace, mention my innocence to him. Now Allah says after, فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ. That shaytan made him forget. فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. So as a result, Yusuf remained in prison for several years. Bid'a means something up to 10. Something up to 10, from between 3 and 10. And some scholars have opined that it was around 7 years. Around 7 years extra. So what another test, subhanallah, that he went through. Put this into memory plus. Because someone now who's been tested like this, how will the relationship be with Allah? A normal person, but not a person of beautiful iman, like Yusuf alayhi salam. And inshallah we'll touch it when we get, we'll touch on this when we get to the discussion of how Yusuf interpreted the dream of the king. Now some have said that Yusuf was kept in the prison for this period because he didn't ask Allah for help, he asked this person for help. So Allah says, فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ, that shaitan made Yusuf forget to remember Allah. And as a result, Yusuf stayed in the prison for these 7 odd years. This is one explanation. The other tafsir is, فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ, the pronoun فَأَنْسَاهُ, this pronoun refers to this man who was going to be freed. Shaitan made him forget Yusuf's request. And as such, Yusuf's request was not completed with the king. And as a result, no one knew about Yusuf in the prison. And as a result, Yusuf remained in the prison until the king then saw the dream, which was 7 odd years later. This second tafsir is, Wallahu A'lam, the stronger tafsir. Why? Because if we look into the Quran, we see, subhanAllah, that whenever a prophet made a mistake, Allah always mentions to us them asking Allah for forgiveness. When Nuh alayhi salam made a mistake and asked Allah about his son and said, he's from my family. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ, he's not from your family. His actions were not righteous. فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ, do not speak to me about which you have no knowledge about. Right? And you're being warned from being from the ignorant. What did Nuh do straight away? Allah tells us in the Quran, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Adam alayhi salam, Allah tells us that he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Adam and Hawa, our mother and father, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Third page of Surah Al-A'raf, in some masahif, second page, end of the second page. Allah tells us this dua of our parents. They sought forgiveness. And we see this in the Quran. Yunus alayhi salam, when he lost hope in his people and left his people after Allah told him not to leave, meaning Allah never permitted him to leave, but when he saw them not listening to his call and he remembered the punishment of Nuh, he just went and he said, I'm leaving you, I'm not going to be here when Allah's punishment comes. So he was swallowed by a whale. When he was in the whale, Allah tells us, what did he say? Dhannun, you know, Yunus alayhi salam, Yunus. Allah tells us when he was fi dhulumat, in the darkness of the whale's stomach, in the darkness of the ocean, in the darkness of the night, and in dhulumat in thalath, he was covered by 3 darknesses. And Allah says when he called out to Allah and he said, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin, there is no one worthy of worship besides you, glory be to you, indeed I'm from the oppressors. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him, preserved him, protected him, saved him. Where in the Quran do we see Allah telling us that Yusuf asked for forgiveness? We don't see it. Which makes this tafsir weak. Because Yusuf was a prophet. If this mistake happened, Allah would have shown us Yusuf alayhi salam asking for forgiveness. That's number one. Number two, if Yusuf forgot, does Allah hold us accountable for forgetting? He forgot. فَأَنْسَاهُ شَيْطَانُ, Allah is telling us that shaitan made him forget. It's human nature to forget. How can he forget and then punished for forgetting? So the stronger tafsir is that the one who forgot was the freedman. He forgot to mention Yusuf to the king. And as a result, Yusuf's situation remained unknown and Yusuf remained in the prison for many, many years. Now, we're traveling through chapters really and quickly. And in 1 minute, you're in the home of Yaqub. Next minute, you're in the chapter of the abduction. Next minute, the third abduction. Next minute, Yusuf in Egypt. Next minute, he's locked up with the woman and then he's tested with the women of the city. Then we have another chapter, Yusuf in the prison. SubhanAllah, each chapter is amazing. Chapter, 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 chapter. You can break through Surah Yusuf into these chapters and you can deduce all the benefits. SubhanAllah. Amazing. I mean, look at the chapter of the prison. What a lesson, da'wah masterclass, huh? Chapter in the prison, da'wah masterclass. Chapter in the, locked up in the room with the minister's wife and then being tested by the women of the city, iman masterclass. Chapter growing up in the minister's home. How to be a phenomenal child masterclass. Because he lived in that home for 33 decades upon what his father taught him before he was abducted from his home when he was a kid. How to hold true to those values. That is how to be a child masterclass. Right? Chapter in the home of his father. Parenting masterclass. We discussed this. Prophetic parenting. Right? When he's abducted by his brothers. Sibling masterclass. How relationship shouldn't be between siblings. And how to manage things if things go wrong. We see this from Yusuf alayhi salam. And we will see this when they meet. How he deals with them. Sibling masterclass. Subhanallah. Then, now we're going to see, subhanallah, another masterclass. When people seek advice from you. Community masterclass. Social masterclass. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's in control of everything. He brings this khair to Yusuf alayhi salam. How? By making the king see a dream. Subhanallah. Yusuf alayhi salam, the story of Yusuf has the dreams. The dream, yani inni ara. We see this at the beginning. Yani he says, inni ra'itu. I saw the sun, the moon, 11 stars. Now he's in the prison, they saying, yani ara, they're saying, we see in our dream. Now the king has a dream. Allah says, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ إِنِّي أَرَىٰ. The king is telling his royal guard, his diwan, the closest to him, I see in a dream. Subhanallah. Yusuf alayhi salam is the story and surah of dreams. And perhaps maybe tomorrow we can summarize the topic of dreams, inshallah. Okay, we'll do that, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. I guess it was supposed to happen, but then I traveled either to Brisbane or to Sydney. It was the Brisbane travel that caused us to subhanallah, misstating that lesson. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll go through it, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, before we start the session. Because the Sharia has a lot of knowledge about dreams from an Islamic perspective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing a great trial to the globe. And particularly the land of Egypt and the land of Palestine. What is this trial? There's going to be 7 years of rainfall, followed by 7 years of drought, severe drought. Nothing will grow in the 7 years. How does Allah make this known to man? Through the dream. This king has a dream. He says to his royal court, I see in my dream, subhanallah, I see something strange. I see 7 fat cows being consumed by 7 thin cows. This doesn't make sense. And then to add insult to injury, I see 7 green, fresh, healthy crops being consumed by 7 wilted stems of crop. So he says to his people, Ya ayyuhal mala, my advisors, my people, my royal court, aftuni fi ru'yai, explain to me my dream. Make sense of my dream. If you are indeed people who interpret dreams. Now, this shows, gives an idea that during this era, subhanallah, dreams was their thing. And Allah sends his prophets with the miracle of being able to precisely interpret dreams. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Arabic language was their thing. Allah sends the miraculous Quran in the Arabic language, bilisan in Arabi mubin. At the time of Musa, magic and these kind of deceptive practices was their thing. Allah sends Musa with the stick that turned into a snake, and his hand under his armpit that shone so brightly. Musa, Isa alayhi salam, medicine was their thing. And Allah sends Isa with the ability to heal the leper, give life to something dead with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is munasib, everything is suitable. Nothing is just practice without a vision. Allah is totally above that. So, what do his people do? Similar to what we do when we don't know something and we don't want to be seen to be people who don't know, we just come up with some, we try to brush it away. Brush it to the side. Make nothing of it. It's not important. They say to the king, Adghathu Ahlam. What is Adghathu Ahlam? Adghathu Ahlam are, you know, those dreams you have when you had a heavy dinner, ya akhi. You have a heavy dinner, sometimes you go sleep, you start seeing weird things in your sleep, ya akhi. Huh? It happens. Yeah. You know what? don't eat those steaks so late at night. You know, they're digesting. Now in your mind, you're seeing things. So they said, Adghath Ahlam. They said, this is just from, you know, your mind playing tricks on you. Don't give it importance. But subhanAllah, this is Allah's qadr. Look how Allah sets the scene. It so happens, as this discussion is happening, this wine pourer is present in the room. Remember we said, Allah's mercy is always near. When you're being tested, you have to know Allah's mercy is near. When the brothers were planning to kill Yusuf, did Allah not inspire one of them to say, don't kill him, but throw him into a well? Isn't that Allah's mercy? That's mercy. You see, Yusuf, he doesn't know this, but he believes Allah's mercy is near. My situation could be worse. When he was in the slave, and people were being slapped around and treated like animals, and Allah inspires the minister to be there and to have the sixth sense, to see him and say, I want that guy. Isn't that Allah's mercy? He could have been chosen by some other tyrant and beaten and lashed every day of his life. The test could have been much worse. But this guy says, Akrimi Mathwa, make his stay comfortable. No lashing, no beating, no scolding. Maybe we can even take him as a son if we play the cards right. Isn't this the mercy from Allah? It's the mercy from Allah. Look at Allah's mercy upon Yusuf. He's somewhere else in the prison. But Allah's mercy is close to those who do good. Inna rahmatullahi qareeb min al muhsinin. Allah's rahmah is qareeb and near to the muhsinun, to those who do good. Yusuf's in the prison and Allah inspires this dream to happen and this discussion to happen with the wine pourer present. I mean, what are the odds, guys? If we put this, you know, astaghfirullah, we're not trying to justify or give any credence to betting, but, you know, let's go mathematically speaking. What are the odds that this happens in this way? That the king has a dream, and then instead of speaking to a person, he chooses to speak to the people together. And when he speaks to the people together, the wine person is there. All these three have to meet for this to be effective. And then when the wine pourer is there, he's not daydreaming. He's not thinking about something else, but he's involved himself in the discussion. There's another odd. Allah says that after these people belittled the dream, and they said, we don't interpret, you know, the tricks that the mind plays on you when you sleep. This is not our thing. We are dream interpreters. We are not these, you know, we have a real dream, king, and we will interpret it for you. But as for this, this is adghathu ahlam. Adghathu ahlam means, like we said, the tricks that the mind plays on you, you know, it's just something you need to discard and forget about it. Allah says, وَقَالَ الَّذِي نَجَى مِنْهُمَا. And this is from the eloquence of the Quran. Just takes us forward. It doesn't tell us the man was there and how he was pouring and what was he wearing and how did he have a tray, didn't have a tray, Allah just takes us fast forward. This is from the eloquence of the Quran, you can piece it together. Allah says, the man who was saved from the prison, who Yusuf interpreted his dream to be the one who will be saved, he spoke up and said, أَنَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِتَأْوِيلِهِ فَأَرْسِلُونَ. Subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here, وَدَّكَرَ بَعْدَ أُمَّةٍ. Subhanallah. وَدَّكَرَ بَعْدَ أُمَّةٍ. يعني أُمَّة, a period of time. وَدَّكَرَ بَعْدَ أُمَّةٍ. Meaning he remembered after, subhanallah, that time. And this verse is further evidence of the tafsir that we chose in the other verse. That it wasn't Yusuf who forgot, but this person who forgot, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that now he remembered. Shaitan made him forget, and now Allah made him remember through this circumstance. Subhanallah. He remembered that, hold on, I lived a situation where this person interpreted my dream and it was spot on. He tells the king, فَأَرْسِلُون. What does فَأَرْسِلُون mean? Meaning فَأَرْسِلُونِ, meaning send me. Some people are opportunists. I mean, I have the opportunity now to get a promotion. Instead of being a wine pourer, if I get the king's dream interpreted, you know what? And guess what? I know a guy. You know how it is. Say, I know a guy. I have a contact. I know a guy. The Australians say this a lot. Whenever I come here, I hear this. Say, brother, you know, they go, I know a guy. It's true, isn't it? You hear this here a lot. MashaAllah, it's from the Australian colloquial, MashaAllah, manifestations. I know a guy. Especially in Sydney, I hear it a lot. Is it common in Melbourne as well? Yeah, more in Sydney, and there you go. You see, I can also piece it together. Yeah, I hear it in Sydney. Sometimes tell someone something and we need to go, I know a guy. So this guy is saying, I know a guy, right? And obviously he's being an opportunist. He's saying, send me. Listen, just send me. I'll sort this out for you, King. Allah takes us straight away back to the prison. Not how he went there. Did he go by car? Was there traffic? Was there no traffic? It's not important. This is why the Quranic stories are the best. It doesn't waste anybody's time. Yusufu ayyuha siddiq. Oh, the conversation is happening. He's gone through the prison. He's gone through the security. He's signed in. He's checked in. Whatever protocols they had, he's sitting with Yusuf. You can, nowadays you'll imagine, phone, huh? No, it wasn't like that then. Wallahu a'lam. They were talking to each other. He speaks to Yusuf as if he's his buddy. Yahi, you forgot about me, Yahi. Shlonak, Yahi. Yani, what's your situation? Where did you come from? Yani, huh? Where did you come from? Sorry, to the guys in the camera, we have some people who speak Arabic here. We have some Saudis, we have some Arabs. Sometimes I let myself go. Allah bless you all. Like I said, from the adab of da'wah is to speak to the people here before the people on the camera. I apologize. I have to apologize because yesterday when I was listening back to the session, I noticed I said some Arabic words and I didn't translate it. But inshallah, through context, you guys got it. But you get the point. Someone who you helped and you asked him for one request, and years are gone by. Imagine it's 7 years. You haven't seen this guy. People's faces change in 7 years, right? People's identities, you feel like, has changed. No. Identity shouldn't change. I don't mean identity. In that sense, of people's demeanors, people's personality traits. A lot happens in 7 years. And this person just comes and says, Yusuf, ayyuha siddiq, aftina, interpret this dream for me. King had a dream. We need you to interpret the dream. Now, let's be honest, guys. Let's be honest. Yani, 21st night of Ramadan. Don't spoil your ibadah. What would you do? Huh?
Punch him on the face.
Astaghfirullah. Inshallah, it doesn't happen, because 21st night we don't be punching people in the face, ya akhi. Maya juza, that's not allowed. But of course, I understand what you're saying. What would you do, Habibi?
You wouldn't tell
him. Tell him, ya akhi. Who are you, ya akhi? Where do we know each other from? Which buddy? Which Siddiq? Anywho, ayyuha Siddiq, meaning Siddiq here, meaning a truthful one. Truthful one, meaning you say that to someone who you also feel that closeness to and you appreciate them. Siddiq, truthful one. So he's praising Yusuf alayhi salam and he's presenting himself as an acquaintance. Ayyuha Siddiq. Yani, we go back. Guy, you know, we've done things together, man, you know. Well, we traveled together. We remember in our teens, how the shabab talk, the brothers talk, huh? You know, back then we used to have game, you know? Huh? Yeah, na'am. Allahumusta'an. It just doesn't suit me, the speech, yeah. It doesn't suit me, guys. Yusuf alayhi salam, subhanallah, he manifests his amazing character again. He listens carefully to what this person says. Aftina, please explain to us. Give us the interpretation of this dream whereby the seven cows and seven thin cows, seven healthy crops and seven thin crops, and the thin is devouring the fat. The thin is devouring the healthy. And then he says to him, لَعَلِّي أَرْجُعُ إِلَى النَّاسِ. So, you know, if you do it, I can go back to the people and they can know what's happening. Now, I mean, to be honest, I thought about this. I mean, it wouldn't even be, you wouldn't say, yani, it wouldn't take away from Yusuf alayhi salam if Yusuf at this stage said to him, look, I'll interpret the dream. But first, please, I shared with you a request 7 years ago. No problem. You know, you forgot. It's no problem. No hard feelings, right? But, you know, please, you know, who are you working for now? The king. Go to the king and just tell him that there's an innocent person here. Would that take anything away from Yusuf alayhi salam? Do you think? But this shows you, subhanallah, how his trust was in Allah alone. And this is another sign about our tafsir. Choosing that second tafsir was the right one. That Yusuf made no error. He didn't forget Allah. It was this man who forgot Yusuf. Because Yusuf is not even talking about what happened before. What Yusuf did was halal, was mashru'. He was taking the means. The Sharia tells us, lock your door and put your trust in Allah. Put your seatbelt, put your trust in Allah. Switch on your alarm, put your trust in Allah. This is from tawakkul. Take the means, but understand there's Allah above the means. Yusuf took the means and recognized that Allah's plan is Allah's plan. This means didn't work for him. I don't have any issues with this guy. When do you look beyond the person, beyond their mistake, beyond their weakness? When you truly understand that you do not associate partners with Allah, min shay. We spoke about this yesterday. Min shay. Meaning in the minutest form, I don't associate partners with Allah. It's all Allah who's in control. This person forgot because Allah has a plan for me. I'm not going to hold him accountable. And this is something we need to do, subhanAllah. May Allah forgive me. I'm thinking of the time, subhanAllah, where, you know, we've had to maybe become quote-unquote prescriptive because someone didn't do what they were supposed to. Now, I'm not saying, I mean, that, you know, every time someone doesn't do what they're supposed to, that it's a, this is a green license, you know, to cancel out, you know, the pontification of any consequences and so on and so forth. No, because if you're running an organization, it can't run without people doing what they have to do. But this was a personal favor, right? It's a personal favor, and the person forgot. Yusuf, you can see, Yusuf did not sit for all these years depressed. He did not sit for all these years saying, when I get out and I find this guy. When this guy came, Yusuf immediately says, قَالَ تَزْرَعُونَ سَبْعَ سِنِينَ دَأَبًا فَمَا حَصَدْتُمْ فَذَرُوهُ فِي سُنْبُلِهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّا تَأْكُلُونَ ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ سَبْعٌ شِدَادٌ يَأْكُلْنَ مَا قَدَّمْتُمْ لَهُنَّ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّا تُحْصِنُونَ ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ عَامٌ فِيهِ يُغَاثُ النَّاسُ وَفِيهِ يَعْصِرُونَ. الله يا أخي, ما هذا الجمال يا رب, ما هذه الروعة. أمين. Every time I teach this course, people say we're going to name our child Yusuf. And many people have named their child Yusuf. Because wallahi.
Wallahi, I was thinking that.
You are thinking that?
Wallahi.
There you go. He says, wallahi, I was thinking that. Allahu Akbar. Yusuf alayhi salam shows you his aqidah was intact. His relationship with Allah was intact. He doesn't engage this person in any introductory speech. Immediately, he answers the request of this person. And guess what? He doesn't interpret the dream only. He gives him the solutions. This is the guy you want on your team. You know when you say, I know a guy? This is the guy. This is the person you want on your team. Yani not, he's not the person who brings problems. He brings solutions. Yusuf not only interprets the dreams, he tells this person the solution. This is what you're going to do. You're going to have 7 years of rain. When that rain comes, you're going to plant and you're going to increase the harvest. And when you increase the harvest, you're going to keep the food of that harvest safe in its covering, in its natural covering, meaning you're going to store it. You're going to silo it. And then after that, there's going to be 7 years of drought and you're going to eat from the storages that you have from the 7 years of rainfall. And before the storages finish it, if you manage it well, there'll be years after that where abundant rainfall will fall and people will eat and people will have juice and they will drink and so on and so forth. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِي بِهِ. Allah just fast forwards it. It doesn't take us to the part where this guy comes to the palace. How does he enter upon the king? How does he, what does he say to the king? Allah just says to us, the king said, bring him to me. Bring him to me. And we will continue this tomorrow. In Shona, we say Mangwana, Zimbabwean language. Tomorrow, inshallah, we will discuss this because we're heading to another. Yusuf stayed in the prison, but this is a transition period. Because there's so many beautiful things that you're going to learn from Yusuf alayhi salam here, that if we start now, we might need another hour. So let's use this as our pit stop. Obviously, you realize that this person interpreted the dream for the king and gave the king the solutions for it. And the king is thinking to himself, there's no way you did this by yourself. We know you. I want to know your source. Because I just had my whole royal court tell me that I was just having some scary dream, like shaitan was playing with me in my dream, just forget about it. And you are bringing to me a matter of national importance. Not even national, regional. We're talking about Palestine as well. Regional importance. You bringing me to a matter that could entail millions of people dying. Because 7 years of drought is a famine. So, I need your source. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك علي وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. That is the cliffhanger. I leave you all upon. Perhaps it will allow you to worship Allah through the ibadah of tadabbur, pondering over the Quran this evening, and inshallah makes you choose this venue as the place for your salah tomorrow, inshallah, to join us for the salah and bi-idhnillahi ta'ala the continuation of the tafsir. Jazakumullahu khairan.